Let's continue reading verses 12 through 18 of Philippians chapter 1. In this section, Paul writes of the good results that have come about from his imprisonment. He also writes about some preachers of the gospel who were sharing the good news from impure motives. Philippians 1, verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Once again, some background notes. In verse 13, Paul wrote that it has become evident to the whole palace guard or praetorian guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. The palace guard or praetorian guard here would be a select group of imperial guards in Rome. They were not the Roman police and they were not the regular Roman army. No, they were a special elite group of imperial guards. They numbered about 9,000 strong in Rome. Now remember, Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. He was not in a dungeon. No, it was a house arrest, but he was chained to a Roman guard at all times. These Roman guards that guarded Paul came from this select group of imperial guards. Periodically, there would be a changing of the guard every so many hours. So Paul would have met a number of these guards. More importantly, a number of these guards would have met Paul. How long do you think you could be chained to the Apostle Paul and not hear the gospel? Not very long. Can you imagine one of these Roman guards coming back to the barracks after duty, chained to the Apostle Paul and sharing a few things with his buddies? I can't believe it, you guys. Have you been on duty with that Jew named Paul? Unbelievable. He's certainly not in prison for doing anything wrong. He's in prison because of his religious faith. Well, this then was the way that the whole palace guard, praetorian guard, and everyone else there in the official circles of Rome heard why Paul was in prison. Not because Paul had done anything wrong, but because of his faith in Christ. Verse 13, so that it had become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Now, undoubtedly, some of these guards became Christians. In fact, the gospel rippled out beyond the ranks of the guards right into Caesar's household. Turn over to chapter 4 of Philippians. Look at verse 22. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Some in Caesar's household itself had become believers. Remember, Nero was the Roman emperor at this time. It's amazing how things have worked out. And the gospel has rippled out there in Rome, and folks are becoming believers. Now, one more background note. You may have noticed that when I read verses 16 and 17, they were in the reverse order of what they may have been in your translation of the Bible. This is because of manuscript variations. I was reading the New King James Version, which follows what is known as a majority text. That is, the majority of the manuscripts. Now, when I say manuscript, what we mean here is handwritten copies of Scripture before the printing press. So here in verses 16 and 17, the order in which I read them is in line with the majority of the manuscripts. I'll read it once again, verse 16. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. You see, some of the earlier or older manuscripts have verses 16 and 17 in the reverse order of which I've read them. In any case, there is no difference in the content. And that brings us then to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, adverse circumstances can advance God's purposes. Adverse circumstances can advance God's purposes. From the human perspective, Paul had run into some very adverse circumstances. After all, he had had a very successful ministry going. Unbelievers were hearing the gospel. Churches were being founded and built up. But now he's thrown into prison. Travels are cut off. Paul's chained at the wrist to a Roman guard. Short chain. And the guard would never release that chain because you didn't want to lose your prisoner, or else it meant your neck. These circumstances were not only adverse, they were very unpleasant. Think of how unpleasant it was for Paul to dress and undress, chained to a Roman guard. Think of how unpleasant it was to wash and take care of your personal needs, chained to a Roman guard. Think of the gross talk and behavior on the part of many of these Roman guards. Why would God let this happen? Adverse circumstances can actually advance God's purposes. Now, Paul shares in this section two ways in which God's purposes were being advanced in spite of the adverse circumstances. One, the gospel was making its way into the imperial ranks, verses 12 and 13, once again. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace or praetorian guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. If Paul hadn't come to Rome as a prisoner, these lines of communication would have remained closed. But the prison became a pulpit. The Roman chain became a line of communication into the imperial ranks of Rome. Adverse circumstances can advance God's purposes. Now, maybe you're here today facing some adverse circumstances. Maybe you're chained to a condition of sickness. Maybe you're chained to a job or to a boss that you don't like. Maybe you're chained to a neighborhood that you wish you could move away from. God can use all of these chains as lines of communication. Adverse circumstances can advance God's purposes. A second way in which God's purposes were being advanced in spite of the adverse circumstances was that the Christians in Rome were becoming more brave in sharing their faith. Verse 14, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. When the Christians in Rome saw Paul's brave testimony as a prisoner, they were encouraged to be more bold in their own testimony. You know, it's like when we hear of Christians undergoing very adverse circumstances and they're still hanging in there. It encourages us to stand up and speak up more for the Lord. Illustration, remember the Willises. They were that Christian couple who lost all six of their children in that tragic car accident. Talk about adverse circumstances. Their steadfast testimony, even on national TV, has encouraged literally thousands of Christians across this country to be more bold and steadfast in their witness for Christ. Adverse circumstances can advance God's purposes. Doctrinal point number two. Bad motives cannot thwart God's purposes. Bad motives cannot thwart God's purposes. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. Paul says here that some of the Christians there in Rome who were made more bold by Paul's testimony were preaching the gospel for the right motives, but some were preaching the gospel from impure motives. The ones who were preaching with the right motives were doing it out of love, knowing that Paul had been appointed by God himself to defend the gospel. Those who were preaching the gospel from wrong motives, they were bad-mouthing Paul. They were jealous of Paul. They were self-seeking and out to build their own reputations in the Christian community. But they were preaching the gospel. And in this, Paul rejoiced. Verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Paul knew that God could overrule even bad motives to accomplish his purposes. Illustration. I know a Christian young man today who is a strong Christian and involved in a Christian camp ministry full-time. He's formerly from Ireland, and when you hear the story of his conversion, you will have to agree that bad motives cannot thwart God's purposes. A teenage girl from the U.S. went on a missions team to Ireland. And from all I can determine at this time, it was for the wrong reasons. Travel, see the world, impure motives for a foreign missions commitment. She gets over to Ireland and leaves the team. Again, bad motives. She wanted to do her own thing. She ends up meeting this guy in a bar in Ireland. Again, impure motives surrounding the circumstances. But of all things, she preaches the gospel to him, and he believes. He becomes a Christian. She brings him back to this country, and she marries him. And then she divorces him in a short while and runs off and marries this other guy. Talk about impure motives. Where she is now, I don't know. But he is a solid Christian and serving the Lord full-time in a Christian camp ministry. Can you believe it? You can be sure that the bad motives involved in this case will be judged. But bad motives cannot thwart God's purposes. Practical application from this section. Let's develop a big picture mentality like Paul. Let's develop a big picture mentality like Paul. Why was Paul able to rejoice in the midst of adverse circumstances and in the midst of bad motives on the part of some? And he never complained. You never read of Paul complaining here. Philippians is a book of rejoicing. It's because Paul rose above the circumstances. He rose above the bad motives and had the big picture. He knew that God was in control. He knew that God could turn tragedy into triumph. He believed what he had already written to the Romans. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It's not that everything is good, but God can take it and work it together for good. Paul knew that there were no accidents from God's perspective. Paul knew that God controlled all circumstances and could work out his purposes in spite of adverse circumstances and bad motives. Paul had the big picture. Do we? Can we rise above petty jealousies and rivalry and bad mouthing and sheep stealing and whatever else is blinding us? Can we rise above unfortunate circumstances and tragedy? Let's develop a big picture mentality like Paul.